That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Was Saturday's Seahawks series game the best in recent years? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
You know, it's a play we put in during the week that we felt pretty good about. So, you know, it's like anything else. You hope you get the look that you want. You don't always get it. Sometimes you do. So we got the look, and we just, we out-executed them on that, but they out-executed us on the Tuesday, too.
It's Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz Saturday afternoon in Ames after the Hawkeyes held on to win 44-41 over the Cyclones. What a game. We're going to spend plenty of time talking about it today. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass. Todd Brommelkamp here taking you up until 7 o'clock. Good show planned for you today. Great show planned for you today. We're going to be talking with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times with us in the 5 o'clock hour as well. Plenty of Seahawk reaction, plus we've even got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to hook somebody up with that before 7 o'clock tonight. We've got a hell of a race in the National League Central on our hands. Week 1 of the NFL season is underway. It'll cap off tonight with a couple of games. One of them we'll have right here for you on KGYM. Full rundown coming up in a few minutes on the big board. But we want to hear from you today. Your thoughts on the Iowa-Iowa State game on Saturday. 319-366-1600. Holy cow. I'm still trying to process what I saw in Ames on Saturday. A tremendously entertaining football game. A game that at least at two different points during that contest, I left one of the teams for dead, including Iowa. I thought there was no way that they were coming back from the deficit in the second half. Could not have been more wrong. Akram Wadley, Nathan Stanley, Amir Smith-Marset, all with tremendous performances against the Cyclones. And I don't know if you caught this or not, whether this was on TV or whether it was just in person, but as the Iowa players were heading back to their sidelines to get the Seahawk trophy, it remains in Iowa City for the third consecutive year, Akram Wadley and David Montgomery met on the field and exchanged pleasantries. And I thought, what a tremendous show of respect, because we've talked a lot about David Montgomery and what a tremendous running back he is, and he certainly made some really great plays for Iowa State on Saturday in a losing effort, finishing with 112 yards and a touchdown. I'm still, as I said, trying to figure out where that game ranks in the pantheon of the previous 39 Seahawk meetings. We'll say modern era. That's the Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Was Saturday's Seahawk game the best of the modern era? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
I just thought with what we saw on the field on Saturday, that was the highest quality Seahawk game that I had seen. And the sample size goes back to 2010. You had two quarterbacks dueling, going back and forth, both over 330 yards. You had a true sophomore quarterback in Nate Stanley, who so many people were wondering, what is this? How is this kid going to look in his first true road game? Will he get other receivers involved? Will Brian Ferentz open up the offense a lot? And you can check mark yes next to all three of those questions. You had two really, really outstanding running backs, like you just mentioned, Todd. David Montgomery is a stud. Akram Wadley is one of the most talented playmakers in college football. Those two going back and forth. And it was just such, and like you said, the seesaw battle where I thought at one point during the game that both of those teams had no chance of coming back. yet both of them did, and Iowa pulls it out in overtime. And I still think that there was a little bit of the one team missed a couple of very golden opportunities to win that game. That would be Iowa State. The drop by Hakeem Butler in overtime. And if you're Iowa State right now, I think a lot of their fans and their players are looking at this game and they're sick. And it'll be very interesting to see how both of these teams move on into next week against opponents from the non-Power Five and how inspired they look on Saturday. I think that's a storyline to follow as well.
Iowa State travels to Akron in a game that's about as close to a must-win if you want as far as going bowling, and I don't say that facetiously. I think Iowa State needs to go 2-1 in the non-conference portion of its schedule in order to get to a bowl game this year, so they're going to have to go on the road. They are a 9.5-point favorite over the Zips this weekend, and the Hawkeyes have North Texas at Kinnick Stadium. That's a 2:30 kickoff. Iowa, a 3-touchdown favorite over the Mean Green. Let's head to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. Josh is going to bat leadoff for us on this post-Cyhawk Monday. Josh, what's up?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in real quick. And great game for the Hawks. I'm a huge Iowa fan. And I think one of the biggest slaps in the faces, though, as an Iowa fan, as opposed to just talking pure trash, is the whole moral victory thing and Iowa State's turning the corner. Because as much as I don't like those guys, I think that they're kind of tired of hearing that. And it was a great game, and as far as a moral victory, I think they're beyond that at this point, and I hope they do get beyond that point. But great game. Go Hawks, and I appreciate you guys taking my call.
No problem, Josh. Look,
I'm with him. I'm with you, Josh, because I think that the way that Iowa State has improved since 365 days ago, where they got beat 42-3 and looked completely hapless and completely hopeless at Kinnick Stadium, you can't overstate that. You have to point that out. But at the same time, they should have won this game. And I think a lot of Iowa State fans and Matt Campbell will also look at that and say, you gotta find a way when you're up by 10 late in the fourth quarter, have all the momentum, you have to win that game. And at some point, you can't settle for moral victories, and I don't think that they are at this point.
Let's head to the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line here really quick. The thoughts are coming in. James says, if anyone had told the world Iowa would spot Iowa State 41 and still win without a running touchdown, they would have been considered insane. Very impressive. You did have Akram Wadley with the 1 yard rush where he went up over the top at the goal line, though. So technically, they did have a rushing touchdown. Nate Stanley, and he was rewarded this morning as co offensive player of the week in the Big Ten. No surprise there. Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin had a great game over the weekend as well against Florida Atlantic. Stanley goes on the road. He's 27-41 for 333 yards, 5 touchdowns, and more importantly, 0 turnovers in his first true road start as Iowa's starting quarterback. And I think if he didn't already have it, which he did, he's got the respect of every single player in that locker room. But Amir Smith-Marset, that's the second time that I've slipped on that today. And I'm going to have to get used to saying it because I have a feeling we'll be talking about him quite a bit in the coming years. But Smith-Marset had not one but 2 touchdown receptions. The first was a thing of beauty where he lays out and makes a great catch. But the second one, that's actually the clip that you heard Kirk Ferentz talking about on the intro to the program today. They put that play into the playbook this week. And they didn't elaborate on it. I don't know whether it was something specifically installed for Iowa State or whether it was just the natural progression of installing different plays as the season goes along. But they kept that, and by they, I should say Brian Ferentz kept that in his back pocket until the final play of the game. And same spot, I wrote about this at voiceofthehawkeyes.com Saturday afternoon, same spot as James White's touchdown in 2011, the other 44-41 overtime game. That was a triple overtime game, which Iowa State won 6 years ago. Equally entertaining, although I think the one that we saw this past Saturday was the better football game, and I think even Iowa State fans, though you wound up on the losing side of things, would agree with me there. This was a tremendously entertaining football game. You had at one point in time a 21-10 deficit for Iowa State. The Cyclones come back and wind up taking the lead. And then you've got Iowa State running up a lead on the Hawkeyes, and Iowa is able to come back down the stretch and tie the game up and send it into overtime. This was a great and entertaining college football game, and as far as rivalries go, it doesn't get much better than that. And we had fun talking about this in the press box and in the media room after the game was over. Where are all of the people who want to take a break from this series today? Because they're not being very vocal right now. It's hard to make a case for taking a break from the series after both sides. And I talked to quite a few Iowa State fans who admitted, even though they lost that game on Saturday, that they enjoyed that game. It was an entertaining game. You're not hearing from a whole lot of the folks about wanting to take a break from the series. Partly because most of those folks were Iowa fans, and the Hawkeyes won the game. Had this been another 44-41 Iowa State victory, those people would be loud and proud again today. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Corey in Cedar Rapids. He's been waiting the longest. Corey, what's on your mind?
Just putting in my two cents in regards to the game. I wasn't able to watch it personally, but again, probably a great game to watch. Good to see Iowa's offense kind of spread the ball around when it comes to like run pass balance. Good to see Stanley deliver the ball to different receivers besides Vandenberg. But I guess in hindsight, I guess we're going to be tested down the road when, you know, in playing Penn State and Wisconsin and Michigan State. I think our defense needs to kind of stiffen up a little bit in different aspects of the game.
And I think that's a good observation, because the real Iowa football team is somewhere in between the one we saw week one against Wyoming and the one we saw week two against Iowa State. And we're not going to see a whole lot against North Texas this weekend. Now, 2 weeks from now, Penn State will learn a lot about the Hawkeyes then. And that was announced today as a 6:30 kickoff time. So I know a lot of people are excited about that. There's even speculation a little early that College Game Day may be looking at possibly that game, because the schedule really isn't very enticing at that point. You look, Corey brought up the run and pass ratio for the Hawkeyes on Saturday. I think that's about right where Brian Ferentz would like things to be this year, within maybe 2 or 3 percentage points of one another. But you had 27 pass attempts and 41 carries for the ground game. That's about where the Hawkeyes, I think, are going to want to remain for the majority of the season, behind a busted-up offensive line, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, because the Hawkeyes did suffer a major loss on Saturday. It does look like Ike Boettger is going to be out for the season, although nobody has confirmed that. We'll hear from Kirk Ferentz tomorrow in Iowa City, but the depth chart that came out today shows some reshuffling, and I think we all know, after hearing Kirk on Saturday after the game, what direction the Hawkeyes are probably headed in without Ike Boettger.
Now, they had 27 completions, 41
I should say 27
attempts.
Complete, yes.
Yeah, so they attempt 41 pass attempts, 41 rushing attempts. That is absolutely exactly the kind of game that Brian Ferentz would like to have every single week. I thought this was a phenomenal offensive performance, and one that we really hadn't seen at all last year after the Matt Vandenberg injury and after that game against Iowa State. So I think for a lot of fans, it was very encouraging to see not only the effectiveness of the run game, because I think a lot of people not necessarily take that for granted, but they know that that's Iowa's strength, but the passing game was very, very good as well. And we didn't see that at all last year.
Let's head back to the phone lines here and go to Marion. We'll bring Chris on. Chris, your thoughts. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Just watching the game over the weekend, I was very uneasy throughout the entirety of that game. It was not really a point. Even when we were up 14-10 going into halftime, I didn't really feel very confident going into that second half because there was a lot of times, even though Stanley had a great game, you talked about it, the five touchdown passes with no interceptions or turnovers. There was a lot of times that he missed a lot of guys downfield, and that could have turned into some pretty big plays for us. And I know that the refs weren't really helping us out either. There were some questionable pass interference calls. But I think Iowa should be very, very fortunate going into this league to be 2-0.
Appreciate the perspective, Chris. I talked a little bit with Nathan Stanley after the game was over, and by that I mean I talked to Nate Stanley. And it wasn't just me. There was seven or eight other people standing around. But he was asked about that and whether or not that's just going to be a maturity thing as his game grows and gets a little bit older, whether he's going to be able to put a little bit better touch on that. I think at this point, and I thought about it a lot on that drive on Highway 30 headed home Saturday, you're picking nits at that point. But imagine if he does connect on even one of those three balls that were thrown downfield, maybe the outcome is a little bit different. But I think what you saw there, you got to take away the fact that they took shots downfield. Maybe they didn't hit on them, but Brian Ferentz wasn't afraid to call for some shots downfield, and that's something that the last 5 years we haven't seen a whole lot of out of the Iowa offense. So even though they didn't have the connections, the hookups, it was still there. And I think you take that away from this game as a net positive. But I was listening to one of the post-game shows on the drive home. And I was bouncing around the dial from Iowa State to Iowa to another Iowa post-game show. And I don't say this to stroke ourselves here, but and then what we do on the post-game show, what you guys do when I'm on the road games, I would put that up against any other post-game show because there was a reason why I was changing the channel and bouncing around. But as I was listening to some of the just absolutely inane banter on the post-game shows, I was thinking about a lot of Nate Stanley's plays and Brian Ferentz sort of his coming out party as Iowa's offensive coordinator. And he picked a good game to put a lot of stuff out there on the line because there were times they needed it. Now, it wasn't necessarily perfect, and I thought when Iowa went up 21-10, they turtled a little bit on offense. They got a little conservative, and you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to take your foot off the accelerator in Big Ten play, and it almost came back to cost them Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Ultimately, it didn't, but that was the one holdover from previous offenses. And again, it's pretty easy to connect the dots there. It goes back to the head coach, who by and large is a relatively conservative guy. And you go up 21-10, okay, you're not going to take a ton of shots. You're going to try to manage the clock and work the ground game a little bit. And I think that's a major frustration for a lot of Iowa fans is the fact that 21-10 isn't really a safe lead, not in college football, not the way that the game is played today. And yet somebody, aka the head coach, has an NFL mentality where if you're ahead 21-10 in the NFL, okay, that's a pretty good lead. 21-10 in the college game, although
against a team that runs near 100 plays a game.
Yeah. It's 11 points in the NFL. It's 11 points in college. Don't get me wrong. I understand the math there is no different. But it's different as far as the mentality of the NFL and the way that the game is played at that level. And we will have some unfortunate NFL news coming up for you after we take a quick break here with regards to a couple local players in the league who are dealing with week one injuries. One of them extremely severe, very disappointing news out of Arizona. 424. Let's do this. We'll step aside, take a quick break. Sonny, Nick, hang on the line. We will get to your calls, and then we'll squeeze in a big board update. It's 424. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. More on the way after this.
At 6 a.m., 40 million Americans are waking up to a Gillette shave. And at our factory in Boston, 1,200 workers are starting their day building on over 100 years of heritage and innovation. Today, we're bringing you America's number one shave at lower prices every day, putting money back in the pockets of millions of Americans. I'm proud to bring you Gillette Quality for Less, because nobody can beat the men and women of Gillette. Go to GilletteOnDemand.com and get your fourth order free. Gillette, the best a man can get.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, DuPaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at DuPaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use DuPaco, the more you're thanked. Equal Housing Opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
106.3, 107.5 FM in Iowa City and Cedar Rapids, respectively. All across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming your way on KGYM, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Looking on Twitter, if Iowa State fans probably know him best, but Ted Flint, Kansas, on Twitter just tweeted, trying to watch highlights of the last ISU game is like looking at old photos of your ex. Yes, there were great times, but the ending sucked. Let's head back to the phone lines. Who's been holding here longer?
We'll go to Sonny in Iowa City.
Sonny in Iowa City. We got about 90 seconds for you. What's up?
Hey, I think that I got to disagree with you on the picking nit with Stanley and the missed touchdowns, because the deal is, if we lose that game, and if Akron Wadley doesn't go all world on a couple short passes, I mean, his stat line is a lot worse. But most importantly, that's three wide-open receivers that could have gone for touchdowns. Now, having said that, I'm okay with that because, one, that's wide-open receivers, which is great, which is something that Iowa fans haven't seen in a long time. It's receivers. Two, like you said, he's throwing it downfield. Fantastic. But, I mean, if that game goes the other way, I think that's the most important stat, that he missed those guys. And, frankly, against a team like Penn State, I mean, we're going to have zero margin for error on something like that. So he's going to have to hit those guys. But the kid's young, and I love that he's throwing it out there, and I'm super happy with everything as of right now. The secondary looked pretty questionable, and Wadley is even better than advertised. So I'm happy with a win.
Thank you very much. I always appreciate the phone call, Sonny, and make no bones about it. If the score is anything but 44-41, or if Iowa is on the other end of the 44-41, instead of picking nits, that is under a magnifying glass. Everybody is talking about those throws. Now, I would say take a look at a lot of football games. You see a lot of quarterbacks just missing guys. And in time, the hope there is that in time, that will come. That will catch up with Stanley. But they were good-looking throws. A couple of them were a couple yards off, and one of them just was inches off. But even one of those three winds up connecting, and he's padding his numbers even more. So I'll tell you what, we're going to squeeze in Nick in Solon, wants to talk about Stanley in the deep ball. Nick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I kind of agree with Sonny, kind of disagree. I'm not really worried about Stanley. He did connect on some of those longer throws in the first game against Wyoming. It would have been great had he connected on one that he overshot with Iowa State, but he'll get that figured out. That'll come. He is making some really good throws in other parts of the game. And a pronunciation question, Noah Fant, is it Fant or Font? I can't get a definitive on that.
I've given up on it, and I have just I've gone with Fant now.
I that's what I go with.
They
as
don't
well.
Put it in the pronunciation guide in the Iowa game notes, and you would look at it, and I think the majority of the world would look at that and say Fant. Now, I'm with everybody else. I've heard Font, and I think I've heard Kirk Ferentz say Font, but until it's in the pronunciation guide, and I know if Matt Weitzel and the folks at the University of Iowa are listening, maybe we can get a definitive ruling on this at some point today. But I've given up on, and now I'm going the Matt Campbell route, and instead of saying the name, I'm just going with the 87 or Iowa's tight end. I'll just do that until we can get everything figured out. By the way, there is a baseball game to be played tonight in Cedar Rapids. We haven't even mentioned that. I have a feeling it's coming up, though, on our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. We got Kyle in the studio. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Redshirt sophomore quarterback Nate Stanley was named Big Ten Co-Offensive Player of the Week after throwing for 333 yards with 5 touchdowns and no picks in Iowa's overtime victory over Iowa State. There are some interesting notes along with that, including the fact no Iowa quarterback has had 300 yards and 5 touchdowns since 1987. He was also named a Manning Award Star of the Week and became just the second Big Ten quarterback since 1997 with over 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks in a road game. Akram Wadley was also named to the Paul Hornung Award Weekly Honor Roll, a weekly list of the 5 most versatile players in college football. 2 weeks into the season, Wadley is averaging 203 all-purpose yards, 4th in the nation. You'll be able to see those guys in primetime in a couple weeks as the Big Ten announced today that the September 23rd matchup between Iowa and Penn State will be played at 6:30 in Iowa City and will air on ABC. The Colonels lost to the Quad Cities River Bandits on Saturday, but won on Sunday, putting themselves in a winner-take-all Game 3 of the Western Division Finals here in Cedar Rapids tonight. It's Tyler Wells taking on Kit Sheets, and that game will begin at 6:35. Tonight after the show, it's the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, and Monday Night Football featuring the Chargers and Broncos. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Kid Sheets?
Kit.
Oh, Kid Sheets sounds like a really bad rapper.
Kid Sheets.
Now here at Take of the Stage, Kid Sheets. What up? No.
It is spelled with
Kip.
A Z, though, so
Kip
that's close.
Sheets. And I was at the ballpark last night. Good attendance. Great game. Colonels were up 7-0, and then Quad Cities chipped away at that lead a little bit. I know there were some people who were awfully nervous in the Colonels' front office, but a win tonight sets up a Midwest League championship showdown with either Dayton or Fort Wayne. That series also going 3 games tonight with the Dragons hosting Game 3 in Dayton. So keep an eye on what's going on out there east tonight as well as at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Plenty more to get to. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, coming up with us next. I promise you that we will get to your texts on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, though. Plenty more to get to with the Iowa-Iowa State game on Saturday. You're listening to the Todd Brolenkamp Show right here on KGYM 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. The voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, is with us next.
This bottom-of-the-hour sports beat is brought to you by Mantality. Mantality is a program specifically dedicated to helping men feel better and to help perform their very best. Mantality is FDA-approved, covered by insurance, and managed by board-certified physicians.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Two more games tonight in the NFL, Saints, Vikings, and Chargers, Broncos. But the rest of week one is in the books, so I'm going to ask myself some questions and then answer them to you. What do I feel best about? Well, how about a couple of my preseason picks? Picking the Eagles to win the NFC East. I like that one. That offense is breaking out. And picking the Panthers to get back to the playoffs. Cam has serious weapons and that D is strong. Yeah, I know they played the Niners. Who looked just as good as last season? Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. They might derail my Eagle pick. Both sides of the ball were efficient at worst against the Giants. Who looks far better than last season? Jacksonville. The Jags blasted Houston, and while I know the Texans are offensively inept, again, the Jags' defense looks loaded. A few other quick thoughts. The Giants can't block me. Andy Dalton isn't going to help Marvin Lewis stay past this season. Maybe the Browns will be decent. The Packers are really good, especially with a defense. Did Jared Goff really throw for 300? Yep, he did, but the Colts might be the biggest mess in the NFL and are completely wasting the entire Andrew Luck era, even when Luck is hurt. In 60 seconds, get off my boy.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
We alarm our houses. And we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
They were ticked about what happened last season. Ohio State beat them like a drum on their own field and then stood on that field and sang their alma mater. I personally, even as an Oklahoma alum, wasn't that offended. They beat our tails. Go celebrate. And I certainly wasn't upset Saturday night. OU returned the favor. They went up and down the field all night on this elite defense, getting stop after stop on defense when the offense failed to convert after those great drives. So when the clock ticked zero and Oklahoma won 31-16, by the way, could have been a ton worse. Baker Mayfield, still mad, took the OU flag to midfield and planted it in the middle of OSU's O. Well, they couldn't stop him all night, let alone after the game. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Welcome back in 4:38, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. We've got Monday Night Football on the way for you, the traditional Week 1 doubleheader. We will have the late game for you featuring the Los Angeles Chargers. Got to make sure we say that right. Bad news today out of Arizona. Former UNI standout David Johnson looks like he is headed for the injured reserve and may likely miss 12 weeks or more with the wrist injury that he suffered in the opener, and former Hawkeye tight end C.J. Fedorowicz in concussion protocol today with the Houston Texans after their loss yesterday to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Steve Batterson for the Quad City Times coming up to kick off hour number two. Plus, we're going to be talking with Bill Bender tonight at 6:35 from the Sporting News. National College Football writer. We'll take a look around the Big Ten and Big 12. But let's take a deeper dive into what happened Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium with one of the two men who called the action. You heard him on the Cyclone Radio Network right here on 1600 AM. It's John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, brought to you by our friend Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship. And John, I know Iowa State came out on the losing end, but I think we can all agree that was one hell of an entertaining football game Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium.
Yeah, edge of your seat stuff, really start to finish. That was a fun football game, and reminds us why this game is so great for the state. I mean, just a showcase for the entire state and a great, great series. And yeah, that was a crazy game. I mean, back and forth, momentum shifts, and you know, a lot of games you can kind of feel momentum shifts. This one you could really feel the momentum shift, and it was swaying back and forth, and you know, I mean, just craziness. And both teams playing really well, only one turnover for the two teams combined. You know, a fairly clean game. I just thought it was really well played by both teams, and you know, hats off to Iowa for finding a way to pull it out in the end.
Now, 6 years ago, same final score, 44-41, Iowa State wins. That game was in triple overtime. Are there any parallels, any comparisons, other than the final score and where the final touchdown occurred in both of those games that you can draw there? Or are these two completely separate games in your mind?
No, I think there's a lot of parallels because, you know, that game was a really well quarterbacked game by Steele Jantz. I think that, you know, you could throw Jacob Park's performance right there with what Jantz did in that game. And obviously what Nathan Stanley did was extraordinary for a guy making his first road start. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. And so I think the game that year was very well quarterbacked. I think this one was very well quarterbacked. I think the other thing about that game, what I just mentioned a minute ago, I felt that same way in 2011 about just kind of that tension, that edge of your seat tension, start to finish, opening kick to the end of the game. That was pretty much the same deal in that game in 11. And so I think there were a lot of parallels, including the final score, but two great football games. I mean, if you couldn't be entertained by those two football games, you're not a college football fan.
How much of the resilience of this team is going to be tested this week, going on the road, 11 a.m. game against a MAC opponent?
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, I think it's not only is it a test of can you bounce back, but it's kind of your sandwich game between, you know, the Iowa game and the Texas game, which opens Big 12 conference play on a Thursday night. So this is a dangerous game for Iowa State. The Cyclones need to go in there and play very well to win, and they need to go in there with that mentality because, you know, going 1-2 in the non-conference would make it very, very difficult to accomplish some of the goals this team would like to have. And, you know, coming out of the non-conference 2-1, positive momentum. But I do think that resiliency will be tested. And, you know, can you quickly put it behind you, have a short memory, bounce back? And then most importantly, guys, I mean, just find a way to finish one of these close games. You know, I think that's the bugaboo that's really hurting Iowa State right now is they have been in so many close games, even before Matt Campbell got here. You know, and just recent memory, the last 3-4 years, Iowa State has been in a ton of close games and not been able to pull them out. And, you know, when you're going to be in a lot of close games, you know, the difference between a 3-win season and a bowl season often is how do you do in those 3 or 4 games that come down to the final minute? Do you win your share? And Iowa State's got to start finding a way to win its share. So if this one's close on Saturday, Cyclones need to find a way to pull one out.
Speaking of close games, how difficult is it, because we've talked about this, how marked the improvement has been from that game in 2016 to the way that the Cyclones look this year in 2017. How difficult is it to balance how much this team has improved with this was a game that they probably should have won?
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. It's tough. I mean, I think you walk away, and I'll say it, I guess, from a fan's perspective. I think you walk away from Saturday feeling even more disappointed than you were a year ago in that you know you're better, a lot better than you were a year ago, and yet you weren't able to pull it out when you had the opportunity. So in that regard, very, very disappointing that they weren't able to get the job done. But when you look at where the program is to where it was a year ago, it really is night and day. And you know, you don't play the game in a vacuum either. And Iowa had to make a lot of plays to win that football game, and they did. So, I mean, you had two good teams battling, both trying hard to win it, and Iowa made one more play than Iowa State did. And so, you know, again, they deserve the credit. Yeah, I think that's the thing. When you lose a tight game like that, don't just look at what you did, but look at what your opponent did too. And I think Iowa deserves some credit for being able to make enough plays to win that game.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, joining us. You can hear him live from Akron, Ohio, this Saturday on the Cyclone Radio Network, 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. Looking back, week one against UNI, week two against Iowa, was there an area or an individual player where you perhaps saw the most growth from week one to week two?
Well, there's some guys that I think have come on. Marcel Spears is playing at a ridiculously high level for what everybody's expectations probably should have been coming into the season. I mean, here's a guy that hardly played at all last season, played some special teams. I think it raised some eyebrows when he was listed as a starter, you know, heading in fall camp, coming out of fall camp. The first depth chart that came out, there was Marcel Spears as a starter at linebacker. And I think a lot of people were surprised by that. And he has shown that he is ready to play that position at a high level. He had 17 tackles in that game against Iowa. And when he hit you, that was the end of the run. You know, I think that's the thing that surprised me the most about him is just, he's a very physical player for only being 215 pounds. When he hits a guy, usually that's the end of that. And so, I think of one series in particular where he made three consecutive defensive plays to get the Cyclone defense off the field. He was really, really impressive, I thought, on Saturday. And Hakeem Butler, we continue to see his growth. Obviously, he had a couple drops that he'd love to have back, but what a threat he is and will continue to be. He's just such a young, raw player that he's going to just keep getting better and better, so that's exciting too.
I know he's just a sophomore, but does David Montgomery kind of remind you of any former Cyclones, or is he kind of in a league all his own? John, you got us?
As we mentioned, John will be on the call Saturday as Iowa State travels to Akron. They are a 9.5-point favorite on the road. A win gives the Cyclones a 2-1 record as they embark on Big 12 play. The Hawkeyes have North Texas at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. That's a 2:30 kickoff. We'll have the pre- and post-game coverage here on KGYM as well. I believe we've got John back with us. Alex, go ahead and reset your question.
John, I was just asking, David Montgomery, does he remind you of any former Cyclones, or is he kind of in a category all his own, despite the fact that he's only a true sophomore?
He does remind me of some former Cyclones because they've had some really good running backs, particularly under Dan McCarney. And I think he's got the physical toughness of an Ennis Haywood or a Troy Davis, but he also has the vision that Troy had. And, at 220 pounds, he is very physical, but he's much more elusive, I think, than you would expect for a 220-pound guy. He's got great hips, can make you miss, and tremendous vision, but also just a will to keep on driving, which we saw time and time again on Saturday. I couldn't be more impressed with that kid. I think he's a phenomenal talent and a great person, too. Eagle Scout, and growing up, and a terrific leader on the football team, even as a true sophomore. His future is really, really exciting to think about. I'm not saying he's the best running back in Iowa State history, but there's that potential that he could be by the time he's done. Now, that's saying something when you got a guy in the College Football Hall of Fame that's the only guy to ever go back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons. But, man, this guy is special, and he is really the whole package. I mean, he catches the ball out of the backfield. He can throw it. He's a former quarterback. He blocks well. He runs physically. I can't think of anything that he can't do well, and that's really exciting to think about.
John, who do you have with you on the call-in show tonight?
Start off with Christy Johnson-Lynch, and then we've got Matt Campbell coming in. Unfortunately, this year we can't have players on the show because of the NCAA rule that they have to have a true day off And so Mondays are the days off. So we haven't been able to have players this year. Maybe we can late in the season. I think we got a couple shows on Tuesdays because of basketball conflicts. But hoping to get some players on before the season's all said and done, but not tonight.
Oh, it's a good thing the NCAA continues to look out for the players in their best interest, isn't it, John? We appreciate it, as always.
Well, we do. You know, we complain that they don't, and then they say, hey, your day off has got to be a full day off. So I get it. You know, they're trying to do the right thing, but unfortunately it bums me out because we loved having those seniors, especially on our call-in show.
All right, thanks, John. Safe trip over to Ohio, and we'll touch base with you next Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
John's appearance is every Monday with us, again brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And it is 4:50. The text line is taking umbrage with the fact that I'm not giving Iowa State enough credit for the 21-10 lead. They scored immediately the next time that they had the ball. Iowa's next possession, they ran the ball twice for a 3-yard gain and no gain, and then was a short pass play where they lost 3 yards. That's what I was talking about with looking a little conservative. I wasn't talking about any one series in particular. But after Iowa got the lead on Saturday, they got a little bit more conservative on their play calling. But I'm not giving, here I am, not giving Iowa State enough credit after watching two really good football teams go at it for 5 periods on Saturday. 319-366-1600. 4:51, we'll step aside. Kyle will have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Kyle, make sure you give Iowa State enough credit. We don't want to upset too many more of the list. Look, I don't know what I can sit here and say about Iowa State at this point. They looked good. They gave Iowa – they probably deserved to win that game at times. I left Iowa for dead in the fourth quarter. I thought that game was over. And Iowa was able to come back and not only tie the game up, force overtime, but win the thing. What do you want me to say about Iowa State at this point? I'm talking about from an Iowa standpoint, some of the things that I saw with that team. Brian Ferentz called what I thought was a tremendous game, but I'm not the only one who noticed it. When they went up in the second half, they leaned on the run a little bit more and got decidedly more conservative with the passing game. And then once their backs were against the wall, then they opened it up again. It's a pattern. We've seen it for the better part of 19 years under Kirk Ferentz. 319-366-1600. Steve Batterson from the Quad City Times joins us coming up in about 10 minutes. He'll give us the Hawkeye perspective on Saturday's win in Ames, as well as talking about the depth chart that was released today. Ike Botker most likely out for the remainder of the season, and that's going to lead to some reshuffling on the offensive line. We will talk about that with Steve and more. We will step aside and take a quick break. When we return, somebody's going to have an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Fellow Cyclone fans, this is Craig Adamson of True Wealth Stewardship in Marion.
Oh, we will fight for Iowa State, and may her colors ever fly. Oh, we will fight with might for Iowa State, with the will to do or die. Rah, 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 loyal sons forever true, and we will fight the battle through. And when we hit that line, we'll hit it hard, every yard for ISU.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
When you are on your way up, a connection may have changed the trajectory of your career. Return the favor at the Innovation Expo, Tuesday, September 19th, the state's largest entrepreneurial showcase. Come meet Iowa's best and brightest and be part of Iowa's next big idea. Tracks include the Seed and Venture Forum and a business showcase. Your success can inspire these entrepreneurs to grow Iowa's economy with their ideas. Attend EDC Inc.'s Innovation Expo, September 19th at the Coralville Marriott. Details at edcinc.org.
Chad! Hey, hey. This is the Jim Scott Udanish. Thursday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym class will be live in Washington before their matchup with Linmar. Here on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Thursday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Akron, where the Cyclones play this weekend, has a double-A affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. Do you know what their nickname is?
No, I don't. I don't even want to take a guess.
Well, they are the Rubber Ducks.
Was this one of the recent changes to team names in minor league baseball?
They've been the Rubber Ducks for like 6 years, okay. I think. Relatively recent.
Akron. So this wasn't the Rumble Ponies?
Nope, that's Binghamton.
Okay.
That's the Mets double-A affiliate. Akron, Rubber, Goodyear Tires, Rubber Ducks.
I just think it's awesome.
The more you know.
How some minor league teams go great lengths to show that they're in the minor leagues by their team name. I'm not going to name any names, but there are some great minor league baseball team names.
Well, you got two of them in town going at it tonight, the Colonels and the River Bandits, and here to tell you all about it, our producer, Kyle Mann, with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Redshirt sophomore quarterback Nate Stanley was named Big Ten co-offensive player of the week after throwing for 333 yards with 5 touchdowns and no picks in Iowa's overtime victory over Iowa State. There are some interesting notes along with that, including the fact no Iowa quarterback has had 300 yards and 5 touchdowns since 1987. He was also named a Manning Award Star of the Week and became just the second Big Ten quarterback since 1997 with over 300 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks in a road game. Akram Wadley was also named to the Paul Hornung Award Weekly Honor Roll, a weekly list of the 5 most versatile players in college football. 2 weeks into the season, Wadley is averaging 203 all-purpose yards per game, 4th in the nation. You'll be able to see those guys in primetime in a couple weeks as the Big Ten announced today that the September 23rd matchup between Iowa and Penn State will be played at 6:30 in Iowa City and will air on ABC. The Colonels lost to the Quad Cities River Bandits on Saturday, but won on Sunday, putting themselves in a winner-take-all Game 3 of the Western Division Finals here in Cedar Rapids tonight. It's going to be Tyler Wells taking on Kit Sheets, and that will begin at 6:35. Tonight after our show, it's the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM and Monday Night Football featuring the Chargers and Broncos on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. You can celebrate fall and football at one of the 3 La Cantina locations with a $30 gift certificate. 366-1600. Caller number 6. You're going to be our winner. We'll find out who it is next.
We're going to send you to a top-of-the-hour SportsCenter update. It is brought to you by Linder Tire, right on their reputation for integrity and outstanding personal service. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with a set of new tires from Linder Tire.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it